this next part of our life can be just as badass as the first part. Like, this is not some sunset period we're going into.
Welcome back to Work is Third. I'm your host, Dawn Hunter, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I'm joined by Jody Pfeiffer, a certified midlife coach for women who helps high-achieving moms and professionals navigate midlife reinvention with clarity and confidence. In this conversation, we talk about perimenopause, midlife identity shifts, rest, and what it looks like to put yourself first when your body and your priorities are changing. Let's get into it. Hello, Jody, and welcome to Work is Third.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to talking to you. You are a certified midlife coach, which I have never met before you.
Nice.
I love that your website says shift happens, which I love clever plays on words. And really excited also to talk about perimenopause and how to thrive in midlife.
Yes.
But before we get into all of that, I would love if you could share a word to describe how you're doing today.
I am doing really well today. I am lit up today. That's two words, though.
We can go with that.
Yeah. Lit up. Maybe passionate, if you want one. Passionate. Feeling very passionate today about this topic. This is an exciting topic for me.
So you're fired up about what we're about to talk about.
I am.
Yeah. So let's get into it. How did you become a certified midlife coach? What brought you there?
Yeah. Great question. It's one of the interesting things and really cool and fun things about this stage of life is I think that a lot of us start to shift, you know, and think about things differently and our lives start to change. And I had been, I've been passionate about personal growth, self-development for a long time. Like, I'm kind of a junkie about it. I read all the books. I listen to all the podcasts. I've had coaching myself and that was very powerful for me. And so when I got to this point where my son was getting older and I was just kind of looking for maybe a different purpose than what I have had over the last almost, 20 years, I feel like, of my life with him, coaching just kind of bubbled up in me, if that makes any sense. It just kind of came out and I thought through things that I wanted. And I was actually looking through Pinterest one day, and I saw a quote that said, sometimes you have to create the thing you want to be a part of. Mm. And I was like, that's interesting. And so I know that, as a midlife woman, a lot of us are kind of dealing with that, not lost. Lost isn't the right word, but it's a transition, right? We're trying to figure out what this next phase looks like. Work is Third, perfect name for your podcast, and very aligned with that same idea and messaging. It's like, what do we want it to look like? And it definitely looks different than it did in our 20s and 30s. And so I just wanted to bring, my life experience and kind of the personal growth things that I've learned along the way to help other women.
I feel like this is a conversation that is not had enough. I feel like even in my friend group, we don't talk about perimenopause, menopause. We don't really always talk about these midlife shifts. And then also there are generational differences. So we have friends who are in their 20s still, and I have friends who are in their 50s. And so the conversation to me, I'm like, I wish we had more of it, I guess. I don't want to say we don't have the conversation. I just wish there was more of it.
I agree. I could not agree more. Yeah, we definitely need more of it. And especially around, the topic today, like perimenopause is one of those things that it's why I'm so excited to talk about it, because we definitely don't talk about it enough. And we never have. It's crazy to me to think about how we have half of our population, if we're lucky enough to live that long, is going to go through this. And we know basically nothing about it. Like, what else in our life is like that? It's insane.
Why do we know so little about perimenopause?
Yeah. So, one big reason is just because it's just kind of been a taboo topic, oddly. I don't really understand why it's been taboo. But, I don't know how you were, but my mom never talked to me about it. My grandmother, my aunt, nobody. I never had a single conversation until recently when I started going to them, asking them questions. But, it's so interesting. Like, we sit down with our daughters and we have conversations about sex and periods and all of that. And you hear a bajillion stories when you're pregnant or when you have a new baby or you're talking about having a baby about giving birth and what all that looks like. including the hormone changes, right? We've all heard about that stuff.
Yeah.
But for some reason, this piece just has gotten like locked away. And it's so strange to me. And then also, I think that unfortunately, doctors are not trained in it either, which that's another thing. I'm like, how is that possible? But they really aren't trained in it either. So it's not just us that are, you know, ill-prepared, like they're ill-prepared too. And they're not having conversations with us, which is who we usually would rely on for that kind of stuff. And so I don't know. I hope by having more of these kind of talks that we're just opening the conversation. That's what I hope more than anything. Like, let's just talk about it out in the open. We're all going to go through it. So we might as well discuss it.
We're talking to some of my friends after they had children. And just like you said, everything from like all the changes with your body to things I didn't even know about, like essentially wearing diapers for weeks afterwards. And yeah, and these are things that we just don't talk openly about. And so I personally would love for people to talk more openly. And like you mentioned, mothers and aunties. And my mom had a hysterectomy when she was in her 30s. I didn't even know that until later in life. And so she had an experience that was different from other women anyways. And then we never talked about it. You know, here I am. I've had probably, I don't even know, today is a rough, like, hot flash day. I have a hand fan in every place there can be. There's one in my car. There's one in my backpack. There's one in my desk at the co-working space, because it's a thing. It is a thing. And I'm just like, I want to call attention to it because it affects me. It affects everything I do.
Yes, of course. Of course it does. And you know, it's interesting. And I always want to throw out, like, just to full disclaimer, like, I'm not a doctor. I don't have any medical training or anything like that. But everything that I talk about comes from either, you know, my own experience or conversations that I've had with my friends and family who are in our same age group, and my coaching clients as well. They open up probably more than anyone else about some of the struggles that some of the symptoms lead to in their lives. And just a lot of research. And I will say, I'm going to show a book. You can link to this book later. But this book, The New Menopause. So this is Dr. Mary Claire Haber. This is like my menopause Bible now. I cannot recommend highly enough. I think every single woman on the planet should own this book. It is that good. She is great about explaining all of it. And she goes through the symptoms and she goes through the treatment options and the pros and the cons and all the things. And she's just fantastic. So I highly recommend the book. But yeah, I think that it really is a conversation. It's just so strange. It's really strange that we don't know. I mean, the only thing I ever heard about it growing up was I knew about hot flashes and night sweats. And that was about it.
Yeah. Right.
And I know our period's going to change at some point, right? We're going to stop having those. That's something to look forward to. But I mean, other than that, it just hasn't been talked about.
Well, I want to go back to something you said. You're like, basically, it's a transition, right? We're going a big life transition. And that actually thematically comes up quite a bit on this podcast, is how we handle transitions, how we grieve, how that shapes us, how those transitions shape us. And this is a significant one. So what does perimenopause, what was I just about to say? What does perimenopause look like for us?
So let's just talk about what it is first. And then we can go through kind of like some of the symptoms and things. First, we'll start off talking about menopause itself. So menopause is really just one day in your life. It is the day defined by the day 1 year after your last period. That's menopause. Anything that comes before that, once your hormones start to fluctuate, that is perimenopause. And anything after that 1 day, 1 year after your last period, is postmenopause. And you're in postmenopause for the rest of your life. You're postmenopausal. So the interesting thing is, menopause itself, there is no defined age. So this is one of the things that is so confusing for people and why it's hard to know when you're there, because there's no defined age. The average for women in the U.S. is 50, but it's like 50, give or take 5 years on either end. And perimenopause starts 7 to 10 years before that. So, and it's sneaky. It's so sneaky. It's not, everybody does not have the same symptoms. And probably the thing that we've been told the most is like, okay, well, your period's going to change and your blood work should show it. And that's not really necessarily true. yes, your period will change at some point, but many women have lots of symptoms for years before their period starts to change. And so that's not really a good indicator. And honestly, blood work is not a good indicator either, because what happens is when we enter perimenopause, your body is not producing the levels of hormones the same as they used to. And there are huge spikes and dips. So it's literally like a roller coaster. If you think about, you take a snapshot of somebody, a photo of somebody zoomed in who is on a roller coaster, and you look at that photo, you have no clue if they're at the top, if they're at the bottom, in the middle, on a loop, like you have no idea, right? And it's the exact same thing with your hormones. They are going up and down wildly. So you really can't just have blood work done and be like, oh, okay, well, here's where I am. Because you could be there when you had the blood work done and in a completely different place, hormonally speaking, an hour later. So blood work is also not a good indicator. So we really have to, this is one of the things I just want to like really get across to the ladies listening, like feel empowered to know your body and pay attention to the changes and know where you are age-wise and just trust that you know when you're there, because your doctor won't know, right?
Right.
And the blood work isn't going to show it and your period may still be the same. One of the things that is, it's so crazy to me. So I'll quote, not exactly, but Dr. Mary Claire Haver, the one who wrote my menopause Bible. She, in a recent interview, she said that basically almost 100% of women in their 40s are perimenopausal. So pretty much if you're in your 40s and you have any changing symptoms of any kind, physical, mental, emotional, it's probably due to hormones. And the other thing that she talks about a lot is how her medical training didn't prepare her. And I've heard interviews with other doctors who have said similar things. She had a total, she was an OBGYN, and in all of her medical training, she had a total of 7 hours of training on menopause only. So nothing on perimenopause, and 7 hours. I mean, that's crazy.
Considering that this is something that all women will go through.
All women.
You would think you would know, like you would need to know this about a woman's body if you're going to treat a woman as a patient.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's like, I just can't even get over that. I'm like, it's mind blowing to me. And she's talked about that a lot, and there's no research, like there's not funding towards it. They don't do research on it. Like, it's really crazy. So that's another really great thing about having all these conversations. The more that we talk about it, you know, hopefully the more the medical community too will like catch up and get with it and realize like, hey, this is something we need, because, you know, it shouldn't be on us alone to know what's going on and know what we need, right? Like, they should be a resource for us. But right now, most of them aren't. There are some, but most of them aren't, unfortunately.
I have a female provider. I've seen a specialist, and I had blood work. So I had the experience of, I had blood work of 2 or 3 times in the last year. And it showed two times it showed like low hormone levels. And she was like, pretty sure you're in menopause or you're about to be, right? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I had still been having periods, but they were further out apart. And I said, I don't know. And then she had given me a prescription for an order for more blood work. And around the time that I went in, I had another period. And I was just like, well, definitely not menopause, right?
Well, and for me, I'm 5-ish weeks away from turning 50. And the thing is that I started going to my OBGYN, and I loved him. He was a great doctor. He has been fantastic. I was going to him probably, it was at least 5 years ago, and I was having hot flashes and I was having night sweats, which are, you know, like the most obvious signs. Now, for me, I didn't have any period stuff to talk about because I've had an ablation. I had an ablation years ago. And so I haven't had a period in forever. So for me, that's not an indicator at all, right? Which makes it even more difficult. But I went to him with these symptoms and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I was having low libido, hot flashes, night sweats, and we did blood work. once a year. And he looked at it and he's like, well, no, you're not there yet. We don't need any of that yet. And he recommended a couple of supplements, which I took, and they helped for a while. They helped. But slowly, I just started getting more symptoms, more things coming up. I kept adding supplements. By the time I finally realized what was going on, like, I was taking handfuls of supplements every day and they were not taking care of all the issues anymore. You know, like it, because obviously the hormones keep going, you're producing less and less. And so I personally was having all kinds of things going on. I was waking up at stupid hours, like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, wide awake.
Okay.
Now, thank God I work for myself. I work from home. I have a very flexible schedule. I would get up and work for hours and then I'd just go take a really long nap, you know, and it worked for me, but it was like, this is so bizarre. Why is this happening? You know? And I was having, I said already, low libido, night sweats, hot flashes. And I started having all kinds of GI issues, like gastrointestinal pain that was really weird, that came out of nowhere, that wasn't really, there was no pattern to it. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Very painful though, all kinds of stuff. And I was like, what is happening? And honestly, it wasn't until Oprah did a special a while back on, I think you can maybe still find it, maybe on Hulu or something, but she did a menopause special and I watched it and I was like, oh, I think this might be my answer. And I stopped taking all of the supplements because I just wanted to see what would happen. And I reached out and started on hormone replacement therapy. And man, it has been absolutely life-changing. And I wish so much that someone had clued me in 5 years ago. I think a lot of women's resistant around maybe admitting that we are in perimenopause and we're approaching this stage is it makes you feel old, right? Nobody wants to get old. But at the same time, it's like the thing that makes me feel more old is all the symptoms that I was dealing with. I felt like my body was falling apart. I was going crazy. You know, I was losing my mind sometimes, almost literally, it felt like. That makes you feel a lot older than, you know, saying, hey, I have perimenopause and I'm on a bunch of hormones and now I feel great. So like, let's get over that.
That's a great point because I think so many of us, like even me saying this right now, I'm like, oh, I'm in perimenopause. And I'm like, oh, it makes me slightly uncomfortable to say that. I don't know why. It's just a natural thing. And it's, you know, again, all of us are going to go through it at some point. But we have this stigma about aging and embracing aging and embracing this idea of letting go of our youth, which is really hard. But you also mentioned that you work for yourself. So you were able to manage it, like your sleeplessness in certain ways that were like, it works around your schedule. But so many women are not in a position to do that. And so they're having to navigate these symptoms in a workplace that is not designed for women, because workplaces are not designed for us. And also they're not armed with information on what to do anyways.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I know. I've thought so many times through this, like I am so lucky that I work from home and have a flexible schedule because I can't imagine what it must be like for the women who don't have that set up. And to your point too, about the aging thing, I know it's hard, man. I'm probably about 50% there. Like I am very grateful that I have made it this far. I don't have a problem with the number. Like I'm about to turn 50. The number doesn't bother me really. And I try to just remember that not everyone is, you know, it's a privilege, right? It is a privilege to age. It's a privilege to be this old. And there are a lot of positives. We don't care what people think as much anymore. There are societal rules that we just do not give a shit about anymore, which is beautiful and wonderful. But, you know, then we're also getting wrinkles and our body doesn't look like it used to. And there's all that kind of stuff. And that is hard. It's not fun. Like, it's tough, but I do think that if we take care of ourselves with the tools that we have, at least we are going to feel a lot better than if we didn't.
Let's dive into that. How do we take care of ourselves? What are some of the tools that we have?
Yeah. So let me just back up because I kind of glossed over my symptoms, but I have a list here in front of me because I don't want to forget. So you have physical symptoms, things like waking up in the middle of the night, just being more tired, just fatigue. Joint and muscle pain. I experience this one. I get a lot of pain in my neck and shoulders, like I worked out the day before, even if I didn't, you know. Body odor, isn't that fun? Like, that's great.
Your body odor can change?
Yes. Yes. And vaginal odor is another one, which again, it's just the hormones, you know, it's not you, you're not gross, you're showering, you're doing all the same things, but things just start to shift. Frozen shoulder is another one. My best friend right now, she's just now starting her hormone journey, and she can't lift one of her arms up past her shoulder because she's got frozen shoulder. And it's just the weirdest thing. It comes, it goes, and there's nothing really you can do about it except for some of the hormones. And of course, there's some life health changes too that we'll talk about that too. But of course, hot flashes and night sweats, weight gain, like I said, any kind of GI issues, cholesterol can change. So your bad cholesterol, the HDL, LDL cholesterol can go up a little bit and your HDL can go down a little bit just due to hormone fluctuations. Also painful sex. So I've heard women describe it as razor blades. That's not good. Low libido and muscle loss and bone loss. So those are just some of the physical symptoms. And then as far as like mental and emotional brain fog, I was definitely experiencing this one. I noticed doing activities that I used to do that are very routine. Suddenly it was like, fog is really the best way to describe it. It's like, I had to really focus. I had to really concentrate to just get through this list of tasks that I had done repeatedly before and were no big deal. Getting things, feeling like you have ADHD all of a sudden, like you didn't used to feel like that, but now you do. I've had a lot of friends that have had that. Mood swings, anxiety, depression, and then just like loss of confidence and not feeling as motivated, and irritability. That's a big one. I've definitely struggled with that one. You know, all this makes you feel like, it makes you act crazy. It makes you feel crazy. It makes you feel old and forgetful. Like, I know several women have talked about wondering, like, am I starting to get dementia? Like, what is this weird stuff going on in my head? And your body feels like it's falling apart too. So obviously just being aware is huge and helpful.
Yeah.
But hormone replacement therapy is a huge one. Now, I know not everyone is a candidate for that. There are some people who are high risk that can't have hormone replacement therapy. But if you are not in that category, there are no words that I could say that would express how strongly I feel that you should absolutely get on them. And you do not have to have irregular periods, and you do not have to have blood work to prove that you're there. If you're having any of these symptoms and you're in your 40s, you're there. Just get on it. Like, there's really no downside. As long as you're not in one of those risk categories, there's no downside. And in fact, there are some benefits to starting early. It will treat some of the symptoms better if you start early. It will prevent some of the muscle loss and bone loss if you start early, some of the brain issues, some of the long-term heart issues if you start it early. So there's really no reason to wait. And I know so many women do.
What long-term heart issues?
So there actually are some cardiovascular issues that can come up from your whole body relies on those hormones that your body is producing. And so over time, as your body starts to produce them less and less and less, everything is just kind of starved for that. And it can cause all kinds of problems. So if we can replace it, hormone replacement therapy, that's all you're doing. You're just replacing the hormones that your body used to create naturally and now isn't anymore. And it just levels everything out. And everything gets to function the way it's supposed to. And you feel better and you don't feel like you're losing your mind anymore.
Yeah. So you said some women are not a candidate for hormone replacement therapy.
Right.
What options do they have?
Yeah. So lifestyle changes are a big one. That's the one that I know the most about. We'll go into that because that's good for everybody, right? Whether you can take hormone replacement or not.
Right.
And some of those are strength training. So there's a lot of new evidence coming out about strength training with women. And again, this goes to that muscle loss and bone loss and some of the chemicals you produce also when you do that kind of training. So heavy lifting. So this is not sitting there doing 100 reps of something, right? This is doing 8 reps of something. That's a big one. Another one is just eating more of an anti-inflammatory diet. So getting away from your processed stuff. This is kind of basic healthy eating, really. Eating natural foods, getting away from heavily processed foods that we all know are bad for us anyway. eating more like leafy greens and a lot of protein. Protein is huge. So lots and lots of protein is really good for your muscles, especially, and nervous system support. So rest when you need rest. Yeah. Try to keep your stress down. You're a napper, right? I think I remember hearing you talk about napping. I am too. So I take a nap every single day, pretty much without fail.
Yeah.
It's how I'm most productive, for sure, whether I'm on hormones or not, like napping. But yeah, and trying to just reduce your stress, doing things that help, like whether it's meditation or yoga, or just go for a walk around the block, you know, once a day for 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. Just anything that calms you down and keeps you, you know, grounded. Journaling is a great practice. I've started to practice journaling every morning. And when I started it because I'm trying to break my getting on my phone and scrolling first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't allow myself to look at the phone until I've done journaling. And man, it's been so helpful. Talk about setting yourself up for a great day. That is a good way to do it.
I do the same thing, actually. So I've been doing morning pages for a little over a year and a half now. And I don't touch my phone. I mean, the only thing I do is turn my alarm off because I do use my phone as my alarm. But honestly, a good strategy just to make sure you really stay off your phone is get yourself an old school clock, like alarm clock.
I have thought about that several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done it yet, but that's another way to avoid getting on your phone first thing in the morning. And then it helps your brain to stay calm. It helps you not to immediately get that energy into your body. Like you can ease into your day a little bit.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So even just that kind of stuff actually helps your whole body, you know, deal with these changes that we're going through too. But another thing is you want to find a certified practitioner. So if you go to menopause.org, that is a really, really great website. It's put on by the Menopause Society, and they actually have in there where you can go and find a practitioner who has their certification. These are people who really specialize specifically in this. They are a great resource. And I have personally used Midi Health. It's MIDI Health. They are an online, you can have online doctor's appointments virtually. They are so stinking convenient. I can't even, like, I love it so much. And they have been great. And they're one of the ones that are recommended also by the Menopause Society. So especially for the folks, well, really for everybody, right? Whether you are a candidate for hormone replacement or not, I would start there. You need somebody who is educated in menopause and in hormone replacement therapy and in all of the other things, because they're the ones that are going to be able to help you the most, as opposed to your general doctor. You know, I know so many women who are getting treated for individual symptoms, you know, and they're having all kind of test work done for their gastrointestinal issue, or they've got this supplement for these symptoms, or they have this medicine for this symptom. And really a lot of it is probably being caused by the hormone fluctuations. It's just like the puzzle isn't being put together, you know?
Oh, that's a great phrase. The puzzle is not being put together. Yeah. You make me think too, I don't know if it's related. So I have had more UTIs in the last year.
Yes.
And one of my doctors said, well, as you get older, actually, things start to shift. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
I did not know this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's all kinds of, this is one of the interesting things too, because our symptoms are all different and the treatment plan is going to be different too. So like for me, I've got a whole list of things now, but I have estradiol, which is like a topical estrogen. They have it in a patch. They have a gel. I have the gel only because the patch is the most popular thing, but we have a hot tub and I get in it almost every day. And apparently that can affect the absorption rate. So they were like, it's probably better for you to do the gel. So I do my gel, and I've got it's like a vaginal insert estrogen, and it is supposed to help with UTIs and some of the like painful sex stuff, lubrication, all that kind of fun stuff. And then progesterone, which is just a pill for me that I take at night. Some women need testosterone, you know, so it just depends. And also I would say too, like, just know that when you start, that's a little bit of a puzzle too. So they may have to start you off on low doses of things, and then you'll have a follow-up appointment, and then they need to tweak it, and they probably will need to tweak it. and they'll increase this thing and they'll increase the other thing and they'll try. And then eventually they'll find what works for you, which is where I finally feel like I am. Like, it's taken about 6 months of tweaking. And now I feel like I'm like gold. I'm right where I need to be. And it's so fantastic. And almost all of my symptoms have completely gone away or greatly reduced. Like, the only lingering things I have is I still lose words, you know, like, what is that word? What is that thing called? You know, the thing that does the thing, you know.
This happens to me a lot.
My gosh. Yeah, that hasn't improved. But pretty much every single other thing has. Like, I don't have any hot flashes anymore. I haven't had any night sweats. I am sleeping a normal night's sleep. I wake up with my alarm instead of at 2 a.m. You know, so many, just, it has been amazing. So highly, highly recommend, like, get the book, find a practitioner who specializes in it so that you are talking to someone knowledgeable. That's so huge. Hopefully our medical field will get on board with this and actually train doctors on perimenopause and menopause.
The system needs to improve.
Definitely. Yeah.
So as a certified midlife coach, you're helping women navigate these changes. What else goes into that? You know, so you mentioned rest and self-care. Are you diving into that with people? Because that is my whole thing, right? We got to rest. We got to, I love to take naps, as you know. And we have to eat healthy and we have to change our habits. But it's hard once they're set. And then you're also not even understanding what is happening with your body. So what does it look like with the clients that you work with?
Yeah. So a lot of the work that I do is, you know, they come to me because they're having issues in their marriage or with work or their confidence or different kinds of things, right? They are in this position where they feel everything moving around and they're just not really sure what. So many of them tell me that they know they want something more, like they're ready for something, but they don't know what that is. And so that's usually when they come to me, like those are the kind of how they're feeling. But then when we start to work together, we dive into mindset around everything is really, it's the hidden secret to, you know, everything improving, really. So mindset around aging, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Mindset right. Around what is causing all of these thoughts and feelings that you're having? And how can we wrap our head around the fact that, like, this next part of our life can be just as badass as the first part. Like, this is not some sunset period we're going into, you know?
Right.
Like, I think a lot of women get to this point and they think, like, oh, it's downhill from here, which it does not have to be downhill. Why? We're not even on a hill. Like, let's just keep rolling.
I love that, though. It can be even more badass than the first half, right?
I mean, there are so many women who, they start new businesses, they, you know, start new hobbies, they start doing activities, like even crazy stuff like skydiving or, I mean, whatever. And there are no rules about any of it, right? You get to do it exactly the way you want it on your terms. And again, we can let go of all the societal rules now because we're past that, right? We're over all that. We get to define it on our terms now. And so we dive deep into all that, but for sure, rest and talking about how to take care of ourselves and prioritize ourselves. And, you know, put work third and, yes. You know, like we're front and center now in our lives. And for so many of us, it's the first time we've been able to do that in a long time, especially for those who have a bunch of kids or even just one kid like me, you know, that's been our focus for a long time. But even friends and clients that I've had who don't have kids, they feel that shift too at this point in their lives. It's like kind of past the hustle. We want something. We want deeper. We want everything deeper, right? And so we just dive into figuring out how to do that and what it looks like for them and help them start making those habit changes to get them to where they want to be.
That's what I'm doing right now. And I haven't really thought of it as part of like a perimenopause journey, but it really is shifting habits. And I just this morning was talking to my husband. We were like, you know, we really need to change our fitness routine. It just has to be different. I mean, I remember when I was younger, I used to do P90X and I played soccer. And I did all these really intense cardio things. And now I'm called to like yoga and Pilates, strength training, things that are slower, less cardio. I mean, you still need to get take care of your heart, right? But I don't need to be doing these like high intensity 5 days a week thing that I was doing before.
Yeah. And you just, maybe you just don't want to. Yeah.
Also, you know? Yeah. Or you just don't want to do it anymore.
Don't want to. And that could change again, right? 5 years from now, you might get on the kick and be like, I'm going to, you know, run a marathon or whatever. That's fine.
Right.
And I think that, you know, the thing about perimenopause is it's not necessarily, perimenopause is not the primary shift. Perimenopause is just one of the pieces in the midlife shift that we're in, right? Mm-hmm. Everything kind of changes in midlife. Like we're kind of confronted with our mortality, honestly. Like I know I'm about to hit 50 and I'm like, huh, it has occurred to me recently, like best case scenario, I'm half done. Like,
right.
That's right. Interesting, but also only half, like that's a lot left, right? And I want to feel good through those years. I want to do my part so that I feel good during those, which, you know, dealing with my perimenopause is part of that, but also the exercise, the rest, the low stress, the yoga, the, you know, grounding activities and thinking things that we can do that help our body and our mind.
Yeah. And I love that you said, maybe you want to run a marathon, but it's like, why not? If you want to be 70 something years old and running marathons or powerlifting or whatever it is about a mindset shift that says that you can do that in the first place. You have to believe that that's a life you can have.
That's right. Yeah. There are no limits, right? I come across, I scroll Pinterest a lot, and I come across things on Pinterest that are like, this is a slightly different topic. They'll be like, you know, clothes to avoid in your 40s or something. I hate those so much. Anything like that. It's like, that is somebody's made up rule that I do not have to follow. And same thing, if I want to go be a bodybuilder at age 80, I can do that. There are people who have done that. And I can also not do that. Like it's all okay, right? As long as we're moving, we're taking care of ourselves, and we're trying to set our current self up so that our future self has a great life, anything goes. Anything goes.
I actually really love that you bring that up, because I've talked before on the podcast about how when I was younger, and I'm wearing dangly earrings today for people who are not watching and you're just listening. When I was younger, I wore dangly earrings all the time, big, flashy, bright colors. I would dye my hair different colors. And as I got older, I did less of that. And I was in a professional role, and you change your habits, you change your style to match what you think the expectation is for you as a professional. And lately I've been, within the last couple of years, I wear like glittery eyeshadow and I get my nails done and I wear dangly earrings again. And it's just like, I'm having fun with it because it doesn't matter. It's like, I'm going to do the thing that makes me happy. And honestly, I don't know if I want to be in spaces that say you can't wear your glittery eyeshadow or you need to wear pantyhose or whatever it is, some arbitrary standard for what it means to be a woman of this age.
I could not agree more. One of the things, I was in corporate America for a long, long time. And I tell you, one of my favorite things is nobody tells me what to wear anymore. And I love that. There's a lot of talk out there about how you need to dress successful to feel successful, or you need to dress the part if you want to feel productive and whatever. Let me tell you, I can be extremely productive in my bathrobe. I mean, real productive. Like, again, somebody's made up rule. I do not have to follow that. I can wear whatever I want. Now, some days I want to dress up and I want to look nice, you know, great, but I don't have to. That's totally a choice. And yeah, you can, I see so many older women with their hair dyed fun colors. And I'm like, I love that. I love that for them. Like, you go dye your hair purple or pink or whatever. Who cares?
Embracing, I think, this freedom. And some of that freedom comes, like you said, from your children may have be moving out, right? And you become an empty nester, or you just have other changes in life. Maybe you've left a job or you're reevaluating your career path. There's all these reasons that you might be making this midlife shift, but it's really just embracing the change and going with the flow a little bit. But I feel like, you know, maybe one of the challenges is people want to control outcomes. People want to things to be predictable.
They do. They do. Yeah.
And perimenopause makes things a little bit unpredictable.
Yes. Yeah, perimenopause and just life in general, right? The universe has a way of throwing things at us that I'm like, yeah, don't get too comfortable. But that's a beautiful thing too, because when you think back on your life, I know for sure for me, you do not grow in the comfort zones. You just don't. That is not when the magic happens. and it can feel like an ass kicking, but it really is. You know, it's when things get turned up a little, it's when things fly at you that you weren't expecting, that you grow and that you change and that you evolve. And that's what's got you here. So don't resist it. You know, like, I'm not saying we want to mess up our lives or, you know, throw things, burn it all down. I'm not saying that either. Just know and understand that when those changes come, whether it's perimenopause or job changes or relationship changes or whatever, it's all there to help you grow. And there's always lessons and you can always learn from it. And it really is kind of a gift. You know, I mean, if all you ever saw was rainbows and daisies, you wouldn't appreciate the rainbows and daisies.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's so true.
You got to have some of the bad stuff to work through to become the amazing woman that you're meant to be.
And to help you navigate future challenges, because it is not, all, we know it's not going to be all rainbows and daisies.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's not. And yeah, you're right. Hard things that we go through or hard things we put ourselves through, either way, that's what prepares us, right? That's what helps us to figure it out later. And that is one of the beautiful things about being this far along in life. It's like, we've gone through some stuff. We know we can handle it. You know, we've got this. It may not always be fun. It may not always be easy, but we can do it.
What do you say, I'm curious, to people who are really stuck in the zone of discomfort and they are not ready to dip their toes into this new way of being, but they're also not really enjoying the current experience, right? So what do you do if you feel stuck?
Yeah, I do encounter that a lot, actually. One of the most powerful things that I have found for folks that are come in that stuck place is we do a lot of work envisioning what future you looks like. So I've got like a guided visualization that I give them, and we do a lot of work through that. One of the best ways to get unstuck is to try to figure out what you want your future to look like. And what does future you look like? How does she behave? How does she think? How does she feel? How does she carry herself? And what does her day look like? What does her life look like? That just kind of helps them like step out of the current discomfort a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a subtle way to remind you that, hey, this isn't permanent. What you're feeling right now is not permanent. You know, you felt this before and you've gotten through it and you're going to get through it again. And so let's tap into what does that future look like for you? And that a lot of times really helps them to kind of move past it and start to embrace that future version of themselves and start to adopt some of the habits that future you has. It's one of the most powerful exercises that we work through is future you.
Well, and I think one of the best pieces of advice or, you know, direction in that exercise that you shared is that you are not just saying, well, future me looks like X, but also what is future you doing? You know, what does future you look like? What is future you feeling? It's really important to visualize all those details because then it becomes more of a possible reality to you, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things pretty much everybody comes back with is they talk about just how calmly confident she is and grounded and unconcerned. It's like, it's just like borrowing a little wisdom from your future self and going, oh, this is going to work out okay. Cause she's fine. You know, she's fine. She's great, actually.
Well, this is from, so I love hearing the lessons from your client's perspective and your own progress in midlife. And I would love to ask you the four questions I ask every guest, but this is related to, I think, what we're talking about, which is how do you navigate these changes and how you take care of yourself? So the first question for you is, what is it easy for you to say yes to?
It's easy for me to say yes to any kind of travel. I love to travel. I love to go to new places. They can be close by. They can be really far away. Any kind of traveling. I love to travel. So very easy for me to say yes to traveling. I'm actually headed out. I'm flying out in the morning to go with my husband on a thing that he's doing. And I'm tagging along with him to Pennsylvania. We don't have anything big planned while we're there. But I've never been to Pennsylvania. And I'm like, oh, it'll be great. Fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, any kind of traveling. I love to travel anywhere.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
The next question then is, what is something that it is hard for you to say no to?
My kid. It's hard for me to say no to him. So I have an only child. He's my one and only. He is 17. And yeah, I do say no to him, but I don't like to. I would love to just say yes all the time. I'd love to give him anything he wants all the time. You know, not that that would be the best thing for him or me, but right. Yeah, he's the one that's probably, he's the hard thing to say no to.
Right. But having those boundaries, right, ultimately helps us on our life path.
Yes, exactly.
When it comes to self-care, setting boundaries, finding joy, living your best midlife, what do you do really well?
Yeah, rest. Again, napping. I nap every day. I'm really good at that. I'm also really good at just setting boundaries, though, too, with whether it's family, friends, work. Yeah, I think I'm also really good at setting boundaries around my time and my energy.
Well, and that ties back into what you were saying about the importance of shifting our, shifting our habits and our patterns. Having those boundaries around our time and our energy helps us to make sure we're getting the rest that we need, that we're keeping our stress levels low, that we're making choices that are healthy. So yeah, I love that.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Okay. So then the last question is, thinking of the same things, just taking care of yourself, setting boundaries, et cetera, where do you still struggle?
I don't know if this is in the same vein, but, imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I know that I'm not alone in that. Almost every client that I've ever coached also deals with that, you know, some kind of struggle around confidence and imposter syndrome, which is dumb. I know that I have a ton of experience in various ways and areas, real life and work experience and all the things, but yeah, I think imposter syndrome is one that I struggle with, that I have to work on that one. I have to work on that one to keep that in check because I'm trying new things all the time, you know, and kind of pushing myself. And I think that that's just part of it. I think it's just one of the things that most of us deal with.
I haven't really thought of it in the context of it's because we're doing something new and we're unsure of how we'll be received or whether we'll be accepted.
Right.
Yeah. And that's something I think all of us struggle with. And in some ways, what I'm doing right now is it makes me highly uncomfortable, right? Shifting out of what I've been doing for the last more than a decade, doing a podcast. I'm still working in a public health oriented space, but it's very different than what I was doing before. Yeah. And you get uncomfortable. You're like, am I doing the right thing? Am I the right person for this?
It's not a bad thing to feel that way. The only time that it's bad is if it keeps you from doing the thing, you know, as long as you push through it and you do it anyway. You know, do it scared, do it anyway, like just try it. Then I think you're fine.
Great advice. This is great advice. Okay. So those are the four questions. One of the things I like to do to end the show is actually it varies quite a bit, but I actually did a little bit of looking around on your website and I was seeing your latest post on gratitude prompts, journal prompts.
Yes.
And so I thought it would be fun to end our conversation with answering one of your prompts together.
Okay, great.
I read a lot and I just finished a book this week. Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere, which is an old school fantasy novel that was really interesting about the key to your happiness and being willing to step into a new life. But the question that I found that drew my attention was, what song, book, or movie are you grateful exists?
Let's see. What is that book called? See, now I'm going to forget what it's called. I think it's called The Four Agreements. It's a real small book, but for anybody who hasn't read it, I recommend that. It's just, it's a little, it's different. I think that they're just four really good things to keep in mind all the time. And like, I'm not even going to be able to tell you all of them now, but one of them is don't make assumptions. And that's such a big one because making assumptions just leads to so much unnecessary conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is like, I think it's always do your best or something, but I think he even describes it in the book as your best right now is different than your best tomorrow. And that's okay. You do your best in the moment with whatever you got. And I can't remember the other two right now, but I like that book a lot. And it's one that comes to mind a lot.
I don't remember either, but I do remember that book. And it's one that I've donated a lot of books over the years.
Me too.
But I keep books that were impactful. Yes. And that I might read again. So maybe it sounds like I should probably pick that one back up again.
Yeah, I'm going to grab it myself after this and look to see what the other two are because I can't remember.
Well, I was going to answer this by saying I'm grateful for all art. I love books and music and movies, and it's hard to pick a single thing. So I'll just give one example, which is I love Beyoncé's Renaissance album.
Okay.
I love every song on that album. It is so, to me, joyful. It is so happy and energizing and sassy. And it just feels like the whole album is like a power album. You know, I can just put that on and it's like the soundtrack to living your powerful life. And
beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm grateful for that too, because I saw her in concert on the Renaissance World Tour. And she said something in the opening of the concert about very much related to what we're talking about today, which was about being at a point in your life where no one else's opinion matters and just embracing who you are and being your best self. And it just really struck me, right, that she was just out there giving this message. And so I also associate that album with her saying, like, let that past version of you go.
Yeah. Music is magical. Music is magical, I think. I have a few songs that I listen to a lot in the mornings. One of them is Gratitude by Jason Mraz. If you haven't heard that, it's fantastic. There's another one called Thankful by Beth Hart. Both of those are so good. They're so good. And if you're just needing some gratitude, those two are really good.
Okay, I'm going to find these.
Yeah, really good.
And actually, we have a playlist it's called The Joyful Rebellion on Spotify.
Love it.
That I always tag on the show. And it has contributions from Work is Third guests. And it sounds like these would be a great fit for the for the playlist.
Okay, yeah. I've listened to several of your shows and I have not caught that. So I will go find that now. That's exciting.
See, I'm like, this might be the first time I've explicitly mentioned that during an episode. So I always tag it and I always ask guests like for a contribution, but I haven't really talked about it.
I love that. What a great gift to your listeners. That's amazing.
It's so fun. And it's every genre, every decade. It's so interesting, the mix of songs, and all of them are empowering and uplifting in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I love that.
Well, I want to make sure that you have a chance to say anything else you would like to say before we wrap up. But what I want to say is I'm so grateful for this conversation. It's so needed. And really, I'm so glad that we connected to be able to have this conversation in this space. And I can't wait to share it with listeners.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. I mean, I'm so grateful to be here and to be able to talk about this. I think it really is such an important topic for any of the listeners who are interested. They can head to my website and I have a quiz over there. It's called the Shift Happens quiz. And so if you are feeling that shift and you're just trying to figure out what it is that you're craving more of right now, that's what the quiz is all about. So it's thrivewithintention.com/quiz. You can find it there. It will walk you through that. It will give you some great tips. And I have a whole like little mini coaching session that will come to you after. So I think that I think it's really powerful and helpful. I hope it is. That was my intention.
We will make sure we also share that link in the show notes for anyone who's interested. And yeah, I'll go take it myself and see what comes up.
Yeah, I'd love to see. Purpose is the result that is the most common result is purpose.
Okay. Ooh.
So
that's really fascinating. Yeah. That's what comes up and it makes sense.
It does.
We're shifting at this point in our lives to say, what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
We may be on the other side of things. And what does life look like now?
Yeah. Now what? Now what?
Now what?
Exactly.
Great conversation. Again, so grateful to have you on the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Jody, thank you so much for this insightful conversation. And listeners, if this episode resonated, I invite you to take Jody's Shift Happens quiz, which helps you to reflect on what you're craving more of in this season of life. I took it myself and my result was freedom, which felt very on point. You'll find that link along with other resources that we mentioned in the show notes. And please subscribe, rate, or share this with someone who might need this conversation. Until next time, remember, work is third.